The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Soaring, learning to soar. I have shared this message before. Tammy said to me yesterday, "Why don't you change the name? People will remember that you preached that." How many of you remembered that I preached this message? There's no one in here, Tammy. Where are you? I want you to know. It was about 3 years ago. So, and it won't be exactly the same. Come on. I try to explain to you where pastors don't come up with new messages every Sunday. We take notes from what we've had before, and we adapt it to a new message and a new time. But, the message is pertinent. It's always pertinent because it's the Word of God. So as we're talking about learning to soar this morning, I want to talk to you out of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Hallelujah. We are going to mount up as wings like the wings of eagles. Now, the interesting thing about eagles, all species of eagles, and there's a lot of them. There's about 60 species all over the world. So there's a lot of species of eagles. But for the most part, eagles are not like other birds who, when there's a storm, they find shelter. The eagle likes the storm. The eagle will mount up its wings and soar from the winds of the storm. And it'll catch the winds of the storm and ride above the storm. And I believe that's what God is saying to us. That we have the ability to not only ride out the storm, but to ride above the storms through His Spirit. Whenever, whatever comes our way, whatever's taking place in our life. So we mount up with wings as eagles. Now I want you to as I talk about this, I'd like to share some resources with you also, because when we start talking about overcoming and dealing with issues in life and storms and troubles, tribulations, we need to have resources. And of course, the Bible is our main resource. We look at this scripture and we can take heart by knowing that God's Word tells us that we'll renew our strength and we'll mount up with wings as eagles. But there are also some pastors and Christian authors that they write books that we can get a lot of good information from. So I just want to share about three of them with you that I know of, and there's a lot more. And I do encourage people to read other resources as long as those books and articles and things line up with the Word of God. Make sure it always lines up with the Word. People write a lot of things, and sometimes it has nothing to do with the Word of God, even though they say they are believers. But here's a couple that are three that I believe are very good resources. T.D. Jakes wrote a book called Soar. That's a good one. It's a very good book. Tony Evans wrote Kingdom Man. So for men, that is particularly a good resource for us to learn to walk as kingdom representatives. And John Maxwell, he's written several books about being successful and overcoming, but one that I really enjoyed was Failing Forward, where you learn that what we consider failures are really just stepping stones to move into a new level with our Lord God, Jesus Christ, our Savior. In the area of Palestine, where Israel located, there's many different kinds of eagles. The possibility of what kind of eagle they're referring to here, it's hard to really pinpoint that, but there's a lot of golden eagles in that area. But when we think of eagles, we probably think of the bald eagle, right? Yeah, because that's our national emblem, the bald eagle. But like I said, there's over 60 species all over the world. Most eagles live in Eurasia, Africa. There's 9 species that live in Central and South America, and there's species also found in Australia. But the bald eagle is found all across North America. So we're going to kind of use the bald eagle as our example this morning as I talk about this. They typically live around lakes and rivers. A few years ago, has anybody ever seen a bald eagle in our area? Many of you have. Okay, because I'm almost positive. It was pretty far away, but a few years ago, we had a very large bird fly over our home. I was outside, and I'm pretty sure it was an eagle. So that was the first one I'd ever seen. But I do understand that there's a few nests around in a few different places here. They like really high places to build their nests. Eagles are very strong. They're majestic. They're birds that are worthy of respect. And because of this, through the ages, many nations have adopted the eagle as their national symbols. Today, along with the United States, Egypt, United Arab Emirates, Iraq, Libya, Yemen, all of these nations have the eagle as their national symbol. So we understand that the eagle is a majestic bird, and it's one that we really do have a great deal of respect for. I found this thing in regards to churches who are looking for pastors, and I thought it was kind of cute, but and in some cases it was appropriate, not for this church. So I want to prepare you as I share this with you. But it says when a church seeks a pastor, they want the strength of an eagle, the grace of a swan, the gentleness of a dove, the friendliness of a sparrow, and the night hours of an owl. And when they catch that bird, they expect the pastor to live on the food of a canary. Well, praise God, that's not this church, and I appreciate that. But I have a lot of pastor friends, and I do know how churches tend to treat pastors sometimes, and it's really not a good thing. Many of them are mistreated and abused. But praise God, we have such a great congregation. Good people, and I just love all of you. I know you love me most of the time. And I'm going to continue to sing your praises because I do that with my pastor friends. You know, some of them talk about things that they go through, and I don't know. I don't want to make them feel bad, but I have to say to them, my church is not like that. My people are not like that. Hallelujah. And I'm glad, I'm thankful that I can say that. Okay, so we're talking about soaring. So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to talk about what does it take to be able to soar with the Lord? Well, number one, you first have to learn to fly. Amen? You're not going to soar any place until you learn to fly. Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." What a scripture. There's so much powerful word right there in that scripture. When we, if you are feeling down, you're having a difficult time, you're going through a trial, a tribulation, this is a great scripture to sit down and read and meditate on and contemplate what that word is saying, because your God is with you and He has promised that He's going to satisfy your mouth with good things and He is going to renew your youth as an eagle. Hallelujah. And what he's talking about there is that eagles go through a molt like many birds do, and they hide themselves in a crevice when that's happened, and they pluck out many of those old feathers. And when they emerge from this place that they've hidden themselves in, they look like a brand new bird because they have brand new beautiful feathers. A molting stage that they go through. And God, you know, that's what we can look forward to. When we're going through these difficult times, we can look to the future and say, you know, God is going to renew me through this. God is using this for the purpose of renewing my youth, renewing me and causing me to mount up with wings as eagles. So before you can soar, you must learn to trust the Lord for flight. You must acknowledge that God is your source in everything. Listen, Jesus is our Savior, but He's more than that. He's the Lord of our life. And that means every area of our life, in all our relationships, in the workplace, in our careers, whatever we do, wherever we go. Yeah, church is awesome, and I praise God that we're able to come here and praise the Lord, lift our hands, clap, do whatever, as we want to praise Him. But there's more to life than just worshiping the Lord here. We worship the Lord there, out there, wherever we go, whatever we do. We need to have that kind of relationship with Him that He is leading and directing our steps, every step that we take. Too many people, even in the body of Christ today, have made Jesus their Savior. But He's not the Lord of their life. He must be your Lord. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to give you direction with your children, with your spouse, with your finances, with your work, with your friends. Adam and Eve's sin was believing the lie that God could not be trusted, that what He said was not true. What we have to do is trust God's Word. Trust what He has said to us. We've got to learn to walk by faith and not by sight, according to 2 Corinthians 5:7. And learning to walk by faith, it's a process. It's something that we must learn to do. You know, babies learn to walk. Eagles learn to fly. So yeah, we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, but if we're going to soar with the Lord, we're going to have to learn to walk with Him every day and learn to fly with Him and learn to fly properly. You know, the interesting thing about eagle's nest is that they're very large. You know, average is about 6 foot to 10 to 15 feet deep. They're very huge, and the reason for that is that the eagles, they pair with their mate, and they come back to the same nest year after year, and they keep adding stuff to their nest. So these nests grow quite large. In fact, the largest one ever documented was found in Florida, and it was 10 feet across and 22 feet deep. That's pretty large. Now, you have to understand, though, when the eagles, as the eaglets become mature, their wingspan is about 6 foot across. So in a large nest like that, you've got sometimes two and sometimes three fledglings along with the adults. It could get pretty crowded in that space. So these things are really large. But the eagles, the eaglets, they incubate about 35 days, and they begin to fledge at about 12 weeks. And when we say, when they say fledge, they're talking about taking flight. Once the eaglets have fledged, they remain around the nest for about 4 or 5 weeks. And they take short trips away from their nest, but they continue to come back. And guess what? Their parents continue to feed them all this time. They take care of them. You see, as we are learning to fly in the Lord, He's going to always take care of us. I can guarantee you from experience, as we learn to do and fly, take flight with the Lord, He will always be there for you. He will always direct your path. He will always lift you up on wings as eagles. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." That's what God wants to do each and every day of our life. If we're going to learn to soar, we must first learn to fly with the Lord. And it's a learning process. We learn daily to allow the Lord to lead our life. Soren Kierkegaard, it was a 19th century Danish religious philosopher. And he told a story about a town where there were nothing but ducks. And this is this story. Every Sunday, the ducks would waddle out of their houses and waddle down Main Street to their church. They would waddle into the sanctuary and sat in their proper pew. The duck choir would waddle in and take its place, and then the duck minister came forward and opened the duck Bible. He read to them, "You shall mount up with wings of eagles." "Ducks," he said, "God has given you wings. With wings you can fly. With wings you can mount up and soar like eagles. No walls can confine you. No fence can hold you. You have wings. God has given you wings, and you can fly like birds." All the ducks shouted amen and got excited. And then they all waddled home. We hear these messages and we talk about soaring with the Lord, but then we go out of the church sometimes and just waddle home. Isn't it true? You know, I'm guilty. I talk about these things, but come on, God, let's soar. Let's mount up with wings of eagles. Let's do the things that God has called His people to do. He's told us in the book of Daniel, he told us that in these last days we would do great exploits. Let's do it. Let's do it for the kingdom of God. Let's see the power of God released in our lives. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. If we're going to soar, we must learn to fly, and then we must also learn to follow the rules of flight. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. God wants us to prosper. He wants us to take flight. He wants us to soar. But the key is soul prosperity. In the book of Job, God asked Job, after Job went through a lot of things and Job whined and complained, God asked Job, "Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high?" He was pointing out to Job, listen, the eagle responds to me, not to you. I have control. I'm in charge. And no matter what comes your way, you got to trust me for everything. God has established the rules of flight for the eagle, and He's established the rules of light for the believer. If you want to learn to soar, you must learn God's rules of flight. Now, people learn to fly as believers a lot of times based on erroneous information, and that's very dangerous. Heresies ungodly doctrines, things that will lead you astray. There is biblical doctrine that we must hold on to. We must learn the rules of God's flight for our lives. In order to become a commercial pilot, you must have your private license. And in order to get a private license, it costs you about $10,000. And then you have to log about 250 flight hours. At this point, you can apply for a commercial program training that costs about $10,000 to $15,000. So it's pretty expensive and a lot of time to become a commercial pilot, to be able to soar, you know, 30,000 feet or more. How many have recently taken a flight someplace? Several? Okay. Is there anybody that has not flown commercially? All of every? Okay. A few of you? Well, you know, if you get the opportunity, I would encourage you to do that. It's not as scary as it seems. But you know, I've known people who absolutely wouldn't fly, and then once they did, it wasn't so bad. It's awesome, I can tell you this, because we fly to Texas, and most of the time that's where we go to visit our daughter Jessica. A many-hour trip driving takes us about 2 hours, get on a plane, and we get off in Dallas-Fort Worth or Love Airport and go to our daughter. It's awesome. So I would encourage you, if you need to take a long trip, that you know, flying is a good way of doing that. But the interesting thing about flying is that when you get up there and you're up about 30,000 feet and you look out, sometimes all you can see is clouds. You're flying above the clouds. Once in a while, you can see down, you know, when it's really clear, you can see down below, but you really can't see anything because you're so far away from everything. But it's an interesting viewpoint to be able to look out and see everything from a height like that. It's incredible. Wouldn't it be awesome to be able to fly like an eagle flies? Get up there and just see everything from that viewpoint? Well, God wants us to see things from His viewpoint. He wants us to soar like that, I believe with all my heart. That's really what He wants. You know, there's a lot of universities, and OU is one of those universities that provide training for commercial pilots. It costs about $30,000, plus you have to buy books and manuals. And in order to fly safely, you must have that information, the manuals. All pilots depend on their flight manual. It doesn't matter how long they've been flying, they depend on that flight manual. They keep it. So believers, if we're going to be able to soar with the Lord, we're going to have to depend on our flight manual. And we have a good one. We have the best flight manual provided to all mankind, the Word of God. And it's powerful. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." We have all that we need. We have a flight manual that will lead us and direct us and will cause us to be able to soar and mount up with wings as eagles. One of the things that eaglets do when they get preparing to flight, they'll hover above the nest. The winds blow and they'll hover above the nest, and they're learning to fly. They're trying to get enough courage up to fly. You know, I believe that sometimes that's what we need. We need to practice a little bit, getting some courage up to take steps of faith. Allow God to lead and direct us in these little baby steps that we take. Eaglets do all their own flight training. Gradually, they gain strength, and eventually they have the skill to be able to fly away from the nest, but they do come back right away. But they're learning something that man had to learn about, and they're learning the principles of aerodynamics. And the only way for us to soar properly is for us to learn the proper principles that's in God's Word of soaring aerodynamically with Him. You know, there's a lot of things that are designed aerodynamically. They design cars nowadays that are much more aerodynamically so that the wind or the air will blow over them or be smoothly pass across the vehicles. You know, when the vehicles were first created, they were box-shaped. And of course, that there's a lot of wind resistance with that. One of the things that had to be learned with flight was that they had to design planes to be more aerodynamic so that the wind, the air would pass over them with little resistance. One of the things that we can learn as believers in Jesus Christ is that even though we encounter the winds of this world, the winds of tribulation, the winds of trouble and turmoil in our lives, we can learn to be more aerodynamic with the Lord so that the winds will pass over us, not be so affected by everything that comes our way. We've got to stop allowing these little minor issues to arise in our life to take us out and take us down. It happens way too often. So it's important that we learn these principles. Some people spend their whole life chasing after the principles of this world. They chase after wealth. They chase after material possessions. And in the end, they're going to find out, and they do find out, the only true wealth is the treasure that we deposit in heaven. In Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is our treasure? I hope it's not in this world. Thank God for the things that He's allowed us to have. We are the blessed, most blessed society on the face of the earth. And we have a lot of stuff, a lot of things, and a lot of conveniences. And I'm thankful for that. But we cannot allow this world to become our home. Jesus, the Lord, has gone to prepare a place for us, He said. That's the kingdom of God that we're searching for, that we're expecting. And then He's going to come here and set up a kingdom. It's not this world, it's His world that we're looking for. After much a trial and error, on December the 7th, 1903, the Wright brothers had the first successful engine-powered, controllable, sustained flight. Now, that's what they did. Many people had flown gliders before the Wright brothers. But the Wright brothers was able to create a machine that had a motor that would sustain flight for a period of time. Prior to the Wright brothers, people had just flown for, you know, periods of time with those gliders, but most people did not believe that it was even possible to attach an engine to a plane and fly because of the weight that it added to that plane. What the Wright brothers did was they perfected an engine-powered plane that could be controlled. And that was so innovative for their time. From 1899 to 1905, those two brothers designed several innovations that helped people and helped them learn to fly. They designed a lightweight motor engine. They designed a prop. They designed and came up with three ways of controlling the plane: roll, pitch, and yaw. Now, how important are those things? They're so important that the entire aerospace industry depends on all three of those things today. They're still that important. After the Wright brothers learned to fly, they wrote manuals, they set up flight schools, they trained hundreds of pilots. They used continued education to train people to fly. Now I want to encourage you this morning, continue to be educated in the Lord. Yes, I want to encourage you to read Christian books. That's a good idea. But study the Word of God. Whenever classes are offered, Bible schools, special classes, trainings, things that you can glean more information from the Word of God, sign up, get involved. We do that often around here. We give you opportunities to grow in the Lord. You need to be trained. We need continued Christian education. In the Wright brothers' day, many said it was impossible to fly with a motor. It was too heavy. Wilbur Wright said this. He said, it's possible to fly with a motor, but not without knowledge and skill. So he understood that there was some learning. There was a learning curve to all this. If you want to soar, first you got to learn to fly. You got to follow the rules of flight. And the last thing, you must maintain your altitude. Deuteronomy 32:11. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreads out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. What an awesome scripture. It tells us that the eagle, it stirs up its nest. It hovers over its wings, over its young. The Lord is hovering over His people. We are the children of the Most High God. And He's hovering over us, but sometimes He also stirs us up. One of the things that a pilot will tell you is that the most important thing about flight is in order to maintain your altitude, is your attitude. The attitude of the plane, which is the direction of the nose of the plane, is the most important thing. If your attitude is down, you're headed down. Attitude is up, you're going up. So attitude is always important. Attitude in our lives is one of the most important things. What is your attitude about life? What is your attitude about the Lord, about walking with Him? Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only way to maintain the right altitude is to maintain the right attitude. And we get that by seeking the Lord. We've got to spend time with our God. Get on our face before Him. We've got to hear Him. We've got to communicate with Him and allow Him to communicate with us. That's how we can learn and grow. Those fledgling eagles, they must overcome their attitude in order to seek the right altitude. So they'll hang around the nest area for about a month or 2 months. They'll hone their flight skills. They'll practice. They'll let their parents take care of them. And then one day, they're ready to take off. And they fly away. They reach their maximum altitude. And then sometimes they return from time to time. But here's the interesting thing. When the parents think that the fledglings are hanging around the nest for too long, they begin to do something. They begin to go into that nest. It's comfortable. It's soft. It's a nice warm place. But in order to get those fledglings to leave the nest, they'll take sticks and turn those sticks up to make it uncomfortable and take all the soft stuff out of the nest. They stir up that nest in a way to make it uncomfortable for the fledglings. You know, it may be sometimes in our life that's what God does to us. He brings us to a place, He keeps us comfortable, He takes care of us, and then all of a sudden we begin to feel uncomfortable in this situation and what's happening. And God is dealing with our hearts, and He's convicting us of things, and He's trying to get us to recognize that, hey, this is not the place for you any longer. I don't want you to remain in this spot. I want you to move on to something bigger and better, something more in your life. He wants you, it may be something that you're doing, a sin that you're partaking in. And God, it's time for you to get rid of this. It may be a habit or a condition in your life. It may be where you are right now in your life. It may be a job. It may be the place you live. It may be a relationship. But God's stirring this thing up, and you know it. You hear Him. You feel it. He's making you uncomfortable. He's speaking to you right now. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to remain in that uncomfortable place, or are you going to let Him move you on so that you can continue to soar with Him? In order to maintain our altitude, we must maintain the right attitude of seeking the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." One of the things that eagles will do is talon grappling. And what they do is, it happens with males and females, and young and old, but often two males will talon grapple. And what that means is that they'll fly very high into the sky, and they'll begin to expose their talons and kind of fight with each other. Sometimes they'll get those talons interlocked with one another, and it's not unheard of for two males to lock themselves together in such a way that they'll fall so far that they're unable to recover, and they both die because they hit the ground, because they've locked their talons together. So I say this to you this morning. I believe this is a message for someone. Maybe you've got your talons locked in place. Maybe you're locked in with somebody or something. And God's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get you to be released from that situation before it's too late. Someone may be affecting your attitude, which is affecting your altitude. It may be a friend. It may be a relative. It may even be a spouse. Now, I'm not telling you to get rid of your spouse if it is. Please don't misunderstand. But I am encouraging you not to allow those people to bring you down, whoever it is. If possible, you get away from a situation like that. But most important is you learn to stand on the Word of God and encourage yourself in the Word. I've used that example many times of David at Ziklag when all his men wanted to stone him because they'd lost everything. It says that David went and encouraged himself in the Lord. That's what we have to learn to do. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. It says this. Tammy likes to use this scripture. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Soft answer turns away wrath. If you're grappling with somebody, remember what this scripture says. A soft answer turns away wrath. Or you have the ability to stir up anger. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, this is really important because when we make this analogy with eagles, eagles are pretty solitary birds. They like to spend time alone. However, they will congregate with each other when there's food involved. They're a lot like Christians. And also when they need shelter, they'll, you know, when they shelter from the wind and from the cold. So, you know, one of the things we have to do as believers, we have to learn to soar on our own. But we also have to realize how important our relationship with the body of Christ is. I hear all the time people, I don't need the church. I don't need to go to church. This place or that place is my church. Well, if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, we are commanded to congregate with believers. We're commanded to worship the Lord. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. This is a commandment to believers to come together, to learn, to grow, to encourage one another. We need that shelter from time to time. Jesus Christ has given us the ability to fly, to mount up with wings of eagles, and to soar. And as I told you early on, the eagles are able to ride out the storm. And I believe that's what Isaiah 40:31 is saying. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is the scripture that we can hold on to. We can trust that our God is going not only to help us learn to fly, but He's going to allow us to soar above every situation in our life. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.